Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, my fellow Liberty lovers, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from. Today is Tuesday, April 16th, 2024, and this is episode 37 of the Living with Freedom Show. I'm Amber S., bringing you a vision of what living a life of freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in every aspect of life. This show is brought to you by Living with Freedom Ministries, an unincorporated private church and ministry where I help people discover and fulfill their God-given purpose, specifically through the creation of their own private ministry. Right now, I invite you to share the show with at least one friend. We're going to have the recording up afterward, so you can share the recording. And also, if you've ever benefited from the Living with Freedom Show or any of the Living with Freedom ministries, please consider a donation through PayPal using the Living with Freedom at protonmail.com email. Your support is what helps us continue. Oh my goodness. Your support helps us continue to share truth with a capital T. All right, guys, because we're pivoting with technology challenges, we're just going to jump right into the word of the day and the holiday of the day so we can maximize our time with our guest, Sean, who's in the waiting room. The word of the day today is the word account, ACCOUNT. And I thought it was kind of interesting because very often we think of that word in terms of having an account, like having a bank account, having an account with Amazon, whatever. And in Bouvier's Common Law Dictionary, they did have a section of the definition for that type of account. But I found it really interesting that the first version of that word was actually in terms of having an account for remedies. Basically, an account, I'm going to summarize first and then I'll do a little bit of reading on it. Essentially, an account in this context is like, give us your account, your version of the story, what you witnessed, okay? That's more the account of what they're talking about here. It says, this is the name of a writ or action, more properly called account render. It is applicable to the case of an unliquidated demand against a person who is chargeable as a bailiff or a receiver. The use of it is where the plaintiff wants an account and cannot give evidence of his right without it. It's necessary where the receipt was directed to a merchandising, which makes all uncertainty of the net remain till the account is finished. Or where the man is charged as bailiff, whereupon the certainty of his receipt appears not till account. I admit I do not love their grammar on this. Some of the vernacular is definitely outdated compared to how we normally talk. But it's basically just giving a record of truth, of fact. And when we're talking about facing challenges, when we are potentially challenging somebody else, it's really wise to know how to give a proper account or recollection. Those are some other words you can use too. Very often, you can use an affidavit to give your account. When you're facing challenges, one of the things that I am very mindful of is whoever made the complaint in the first place should have, under penalty of perjury, have a notarized court admissible complaint affidavit. Without those components being court admissible, being under penalty of perjury, being notarized, those kinds of components all build into it the credibility they need to have to actually have a credible and court admissible complaint or account. And the same goes for us when we're defending ourselves. Make sure it's under penalty of perjury. Make sure it's notarized, all these different things. So it's something to think about. It's not to scare you guys, but in this crazy post-2020 world that we live in, and even before that, but mostly post-2020, when there is so much invasion of our privacy, of our rights, of our parental rights, medical rights, religious rights, all of the above. We need to really take charge of our own defense by learning these things. if you guys remember, a couple weeks ago, I wasn't going to share this yet, but I'm going to. A few weeks ago, I mentioned that I am going to be doing a sovereign duty book study. Like a book club kind of thing. That kind of stuff, doing these little book clubs, having little study groups. This is how we collectively know, do better because we're learning better. So break it down. Whether you join me for the book study, whether you take the How to Win in Court Without a Lawyer course, which I highly recommend, just break it down into bite-sized pieces. Don't look at the whole picture. Look at the first chapter or the first page or the first paragraph. But do your best to start learning how to defend your rights yourself. Because if you don't, it's going to be really easy for them to continue to trample on us. And 2020 was the perfect wake-up call for us to be able to learn how to give proper account, how to give proper notice, all of these things. So that's another reason I'm so passionate about sharing a word of the day, because it's a little snippet in your day where you learn something new. You can tuck it in the back of your mind until you need it, and then you can pull it out. So, I could go on with the definition. There's, let's see, three, four. Oh, just in that version of the definition, there are nine different components. So I only read you the first one. If you want to dig deeper into the word account in Bouvier's Law Dictionary, you can get it on archive.org and check it out yourself. That's your homework for the week. JK, I don't assign homework. All right, guys, moving right along, the holiday of the day is that I chose is National Healthcare Decisions Day. And especially with our special guest Sean here, I thought it was very timely to pick that holiday. Their main emphasis was, if you're ever capacitated, what plans do you have in place to communicate your medical care directives and desires to your care team? That's kind of their focus. And I appreciate that because that is really important to know that if something ever happened to you, how are you going to communicate? If it's against your religious beliefs to have a blood transfusion, for instance, and you want to go the other route to, which is longer, but it doesn't introduce someone else's blood into your system. If that's part of your wishes, how are you going to make sure that's communicated to your care team? So things to keep in mind. But the things that we're going to talk about too are going to be really good considerations for alternatives that they just don't let us know are options in the mainstream medical system. And that's why we need to be our own best advocate. It's not just one thing to take charge of defending your rights, it's another thing to take charge of knowing your health and wellness. In the age of the internet, we have full access to pretty much everything we could possibly need, and to verify it and cross-check it online. I know some people in the medical industry try to mock people for having like a Google degree. And yet, if you ask them about some medical condition that they're not personally familiar about, they're basically going to go to Google Scholar or PubMed or even WebMD, which I have found to be very unreliable, especially looking at things from a more holistic, natural-minded perspective. So don't let them mock you. Don't let them put you down for having this quote Google degree. You are being your own best advocate by making sure you're looking at the whole picture for your body. You're just one of many clients for them, but you only have this one body. And that's something else that I'm going to be working on too, is building a nurturing your temple program. And it's all about nourishing and nurturing our body, because it's the only one we've got, and we should honor that. All right. We are going to jump right in because I know Sean's probably going to have more to share about this concept and this topic, in a little bit. Sean, I have known since 2021. He came to me Being a little bit more familiar with PMAs than some of the people I work with, he had known about them for about a year when we connected. And he was looking to start a health and wellness club. Oh, and I just accidentally scrolled to the next page. At the time, he had shared that he was a naturopathic doctor by training and had never been licensed. Gasp, right? In my mind, that licensure would have actually hurt his ability to do the things that he is going to be wanting to do, either is doing now or in the future, because that license puts limits and restrictions on what you're able to do. Even many chiropractors I know, if you're familiar with chiropractic, back in the 80s, there was this huge push and they did a lot of lobbying to get recognized in the medical industry. And now, 30 years later, 40 years later, I work with so many chiropractors wanting to get out of the system because of the hyper-regulation, and just having their hands bound on what they're able to do and how they're able to help people. So, in my opinion, it was probably a blessing in disguise that Sean did not get his license, and really wanted to be able to keep people's medical needs and their health stuff private, respecting their desire to do, other things with their health and wellness that the mainstream system does not support. I'm sure there's a lot more, but that's my mini introduction of Sean, and I'm going to unmute him and we're going to bring Sean on. All right, Sean, I only have a button to ask you to unmute, so I think it's going to require you to hit a button. There we go.
Hello, Amber.
Hey, how's it
All
going?
right. Oh, it's going great. Really stoked about today's show. So, for those of you out there of Amber's audience, I just got to let you know that Amber is a rock star, bona fide, true and true. So,
Well, thank you. I did not
well,
know he was gonna.
yeah, you didn't know I was going to sing some praises here right off the bat, but,
Nope.
here we are.
Well, it's
Yeah. So
appreciated.
do you want me to just kind of give a brief intro or
Jump right in wherever you want about your
okay.
story, your intro. Yeah, just let
Yeah.
people know who you are and how you got here.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm Sean Lara or Dr. Lara. It doesn't matter. You can use that title or not. I'm a naturopath or a naturopathic doctor. I graduated from Bastyr University in Kenmore in Seattle, Washington in 2018. I've never been licensed. Oh, and once I found out about the possibility that there was a way to not go through the system, I was very keen to go that way. And it wasn't easy because you have to vet a lot of things to know, if they're true or not. You have to sort fact from fiction. And the idea for a PMA, honestly, the person that planted that seed in my head was a guy by the name of Curtis Stone. He also know is formerly known as the urban farmer. He's out of Kelowna, BC, or formerly so. Now he's off grid up there in more remote BC. So kind of like in the southern part near near Washington, Idaho, that area, the Okanagan area. And he's a guy that's been quote unquote awake for a long time. And he got me turned on to this idea, and the ball's been rolling ever since. So that's where I'm at with that. And then in December of 2021, I established Vyukta Ministries. And within that, I have several other little sub, I guess ministerial projects is for lack of a better word to call them. And some people might look at my name and, my ministry and ask like, what the heck is that? And it's a Cherokee name. It's in the syllabary. And they might go, well, what does Dukta mean? And it's a hard word to describe. Physically, it means like to go straight or be on the path, but it's also about existing in harmony. Or in the Cherokee Bible, in the book of John, it actually means truth.
Forgot that. I love it.
Yeah.
And you guys, I will admit, when he first sent me the name of, that he wanted for his ministry, I mean, I let people pretty much choose whatever they want. And I obviously let him, it's not like it's my choice. It's not like it's permission he has to get from me. But I talked to him rather extensively about this name. Because when you look at it, especially if you see this show logo, when you look at it, it's not English characters. And so the way it looks like it should be pronounced based on our English letters being, you know, having certain shapes is nowhere close to how it's actually pronounced. So that was definitely a fun exploration. And I think to date, Sean still has the most unique ministry name. That I've done. So that's an unnecessary random fact, but I just thought it's still memorable to me.
Yeah, I wasn't going to budge on that because that was what was true to me, and I'm a man of many nations, and that's one of my I guess that's one of the colors on my palette. So out of well, actually, I have it through different sources. My grandmother, her dad was a tribal member out of the Western Band, the Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma. But then on my mom's side, distantly and probably more famously, back to the Eastern, or at least the original homeland in Western North Carolina, Eastern Tennessee, that area, the Appalachians. I don't know how many greats going back, but Martin Maney, he was a Revolutionary War hero. He's one of George Washington's top guys, and he was either a slave or an indentured servant from Ireland, and he was brought over, and then he fought alongside George Washington, and he gained his or he was emancipated or liberated at the end, and he went to Western North Carolina, and he married a woman by the name of Cassia Vaughn, and she was Cherokee, or Cherokee and Welsh, I believe. And then, yeah, that was kind of like one tributary to making me.
That's awesome. And I love that you just brought in, you know, the founders era because that's a huge part of what I share on the show is how the founders and framers really worked hard to build a place of freedom and liberty for us. And, you know, knowing people who actually have ancestors who are tied to that era is just so profound because it makes it so much more real because you're right. If that hadn't happened, or if he hadn't made it and married her, like you wouldn't be here. And yet it's like full circle now, how many generations later, we are fighting for liberty also, just in a different way. So it's in your blood.
Right. Yeah, I do have other ancestors that are also averse to tyranny. But it's kind of funny though, Amber, how you're saying, like, here we are again. It's like they say that history doesn't quite repeat, but it oftentimes rhymes. So we're pretty much at ground zero now, and I think 2024 is going to make 2020 look like child's play, perhaps. I really have that feeling.
There's a lot of interesting stuff going on, and knowing it's an election year, I also saw on Facebook, unrelated to the topic of the day, but kind of tied to what we're sharing about history, this woman who allegedly, I can only go based on her own word, is a World War I historian. And excuse me, she drew a lot of really interesting, obviously very vague because it's Facebook Reels, but really interesting parallels between what happened leading up to World War I and what's happening right now in the world, primarily regarding the idea of propaganda and marketing, you know, publicly. And it's just really interesting. And I think I'd like to dig into her stuff a little bit more. Because the more we can, call a spade, the other day I think were you and I on the phone prepping, like calling a duck, whatever it is, whatever analogy you want to use. We need to start calling this stuff out so that people recognize it. And that's why I love, for instance, addressing logical fallacies. Because when you can recognize logical fallacies, you can both combat things with speech and debate publicly, or you can deal with it interpersonally if you're dealing with narcissists or abusers, things like that. So these skills cross many, arenas, for lack of a better word. So, yeah, I just all these things regarding history, and it's just, yeah, a lot of parallels going on right now. And I like that thing about rhyming. That's pretty cool. So, yeah. All right. Now, when we were prepping, you mentioned you had a story. Is that something you have already shared or that you need to share still?
Yeah, I mean, it was so kind of like before I started naturopathic medical school, I read a book by a best-selling author by the name of Kevin Trudeau. As far as I know, no relation to our buddy up north. I'm
Right.
sure he's probably like, I'm gonna legally change my name, my family name now, so I'm not getting roped in with him. But
Right.
so Kevin Trudeau, he was the one that wrote all these like really catchy, kind of clickbaity titles, infomercial like that, whatever they don't want you to know about. So the book in particular, the first one I read of his, probably around 2010, 2011, was and I have it right here in my hand.
Nice.
It's Natural Cures They Don't Want You to Know About. And in that book, unbeknownst to me at the time, before I even started, medical school, naturopathic medical school at Bastyr University, he really breaks it down pretty much towards the beginning of the book about the causes of disease. And his statement is that there's only two causes of disease, basically. One, you're either toxic, or two, you are not getting enough of what you need, either through malabsorption, malnutrition, what have you. But that's on a physical level, but it's actually goes across all domains. So
Yeah.
it's not just physical, it's the mental, it's emotional, it's the spiritual. Some might say ethereal, electrical, etc. But if you're toxic on any of those levels, they will spill over into all the other domains too. Or
Yeah.
if you're not getting enough of what you need on one level, then that will start to seep or creep into the others as well.
Right. And that's why our bodies were built for homeostasis. It the definition of it in really rudimentary terms is a state of balance. Not too much or too little of anything. And so yeah, on either end of the extreme, if you're not getting enough sleep or you're dealing with all you can do is sleep, either both of those extremes are representing an issue and also cause issues too. So yeah, I love that you took it to another level, taking it beyond the physical, because that's something that I really share a lot about too, that we have these four bodies plus our environment, and yeah, focusing on
And
that balance is really important.
yes, and the thing is, Amber, is that I feel that the vast majority of healthcare practitioners, they only focus on the physical, only the physical,
Oh
but
yeah,
that's
well,
just
that's a
one.
lot of them what they're even only even taught.
True, and that's the box out of which they operate. But honestly, even within the naturopathic world, for the listeners out there, just because you see the initials ND or NMD after someone's name doesn't mean they're all the same. There is, it's just like politics in a way. So within naturopathy, you have a spectrum. just like in politics. So for example, people get hung up on the so and so comma D, so and so comma R. The same thing applies to naturopaths and probably other practitioners as well. Just because somebody has a naturopath or ND and MD after their name doesn't mean you're going to get the same kind of care from, any of them. Like it's not a safe bet, is I guess what I'm trying to say. So we have, oh, go
I
ahead.
was just going to add to that that 2020 era was perfect example of it, because there were many NDs and holistic doctors that ended up flipping a 180 from what their profession, basically indicates they would be like, supporting natural health and wellness, and they were pushing the masking and, this isolation and all of these different things. They drank the Kool-Aid, you guys. So absolutely what Sean is saying. And that's where, regardless of if someone has a license or not, you need to ask questions and build that relationship first before you put your trust in anyone, whether they just have a degree or whether they have the government permission slip. You need to build that relationship with that person so you can know them, so you can see if you even like them before you can even trust them. So build that relationship. See if they're even aligned with your beliefs, because, yeah, as Shauna was saying, like, just because they have those letters or just because they have a certain degree or license does not mean they're still aligned.
Correct. And also, like, try to vet them as best as you can. Like, look at their websites if they have them. Some don't. And see what are their affiliations. Are there affiliations towards, freedom-minded, organizations and people, or is
Yeah,
it the
medical
opposite?
freedom and medical autonomy.
You
Absolutely.
bet. You bet. And then also within that spectrum of naturopaths, so you have, so from the, I don't want to say left to right because it doesn't really fit or do justice, but kind of like if you took Republicans, for example, or Democrats, you have, the total radical left part of the Democratic Party to the, there's not really any conservative Democrats anymore, but the, I don't know what you would call them, but then the Republican
I
Party.
call them the JFK era Democrats. It's usually the older generation that still has a JFK era morals.
Sure.
So that's kind of the more moderate ones on the left side, in my opinion. That's just
Yeah.
my
There aren't many of those left, except maybe in the upper Midwest or maybe down in North Carolina, that area. But then like the Republicans, you have the rhinos, they don't have horns on them, but they should. And then you have like the old conservative and that typically tend to be pretty based, strongly Christian and so on and so forth. So in naturopathy, analogous to those, you have on the far, on one extreme, I'm not going to say left or right here, but you have what's known as the green allopaths. And so green allopaths are ones that they treat symptoms, but they treat symptoms with natural therapies, which I will admit, compared to mainstream medical doctors, that's a step up, because at least you're using modalities, therapies that one typically will cause less harm to begin with. And then secondly, are going to work more in tune with the body. But there's still the philosophy or mindset that governs those decisions is still flawed, or it's not getting to the root cause. It's not addressing
Right,
the root
it's
cause,
still
just cosmetic.
surface level, just band-aiding the wound.
100% correct. And then on in the other extreme, you have what's known as vitalism or vitalistic naturopathy, which is really one and the same. It's almost like redundant. And with vitalism, which I am in that camp, I'm a vitalistic naturopath. Vitalism basically, what its tenet, I guess, or core value or idea is that the body is designed to heal itself. It's always trying to heal itself. Yeah, as Amber mentioned earlier, it's always working towards homeostasis, right? Always. It knows no other way. Its inherent intelligence is trying to always get back to being healthy. But the problem is we live in a modern world where we have all sorts of toxicity, not just physical with pollution and so on and so forth, or food additives and genetically modified foods, but also just like with social media. We're just constantly bombarded and distracted, and also EMFs and things of that nature, and the cloud seeding. Like we have a, it's amazing we're still alive. It's functioning with all of that.
Right, it is.
But
And yet, and I'm going to say this with a little sarcasm, are we really alive? And I'm not getting into the whole zombie whatever thing, but like, are we really living? I think is more what I'm getting at. Like, I think we're just surviving. We are definitely not thriving, by any means. And surviving does not necessarily equal any semblance of health. It doesn't necessarily have any semblance of enjoyment, except maybe on the, really instant gratification surface level. But yeah, it sure seems like we are just scraping by these days because of all of these exposures.
correct. And the thing is, we have all these layers piled on top of us, and our body's still trying to be healthy. And in one way, or actually not one way, but the ways in which it you can tell that there's the disease going on and the body's trying to get healthy again is through symptoms. When you actually have bad symptoms, it means that the body is the vital force is actually trying to throw off the dis-ease. And it can do that through many mechanisms like mucus production, coughing, rashes, other skin discharges, or body fluid discharges, things like that.
Yeah,
That's how the body's
everything is. Yeah, everything that we experience is a symptom of a deeper level issue. And it's just getting to the root of it. And that's where I love, in a way, I do love the show Dr. House or House, because even though there was a lot of other nonsensical extra stuff, because it's Hollywood, it's TV, I still love that they put more focus on solving the mystery, because it seems like so many of these other medical shows, it's all about the drama, about the extremes, about whatever. But House, I feel like they did a moderately decent for mainstream medicine job at starting to find root causes of things. For, like I said, for mainstream, and that's why I add that disclaimer there. But it really can be a little bit of a mystery when we're starting to address things, because our whole body and our four bodies, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, because they're all tied, you might start, experiencing something that first appears to be hormonal, but turns out that that hormonal issue is being triggered by stress and anxiety or PTSD or, something emotional or mental, or vice versa. And sometimes the direction you start going down isn't really the end result. It takes you down another path, but you had to take that first one to get there. I don't remember why I was bringing that up. I apologize. Hopefully it made sense to you.
No, you expand upon what I was saying. And sometimes you can have more than one thing happening at once too.
Yes.
And so you're being bombarded, and that's typically the case, is that there's more than one thing occurring at the same time. But it's also important to start to identify those things. And I think not enough weight is placed on the mental, emotional, spiritual. I've seen that time and time and time again. And when you look at intake forms for medical doctors and a lot of other practitioners, even in the so-called alternative health field, they don't address that enough, or they don't
At
address it at
all.
all. Not at all. And it's kind of like a purple elephant in the room. Like somebody, they had like a traumatic loss in their family like years ago that they never recovered from. And it's like the question that should be asked is like, when were you last well? You want to identify those big things that maybe the person they're so knee deep in it or neck deep in it to where they can't really see the forest from the trees. That's just like their view. And it takes somebody from the outside to go, wait a second, you had this happen. And like, that's huge. Like, for example, when I was a student clinician, I had a patient that, and it took me like a while to figure this out. We had really good rapport, like after I graduated, and I kept thinking back, like she was saying, like she was having a lot of like musculoskeletal pain, and he shared with us in with me and my co-pilot, so to speak, another student clinician in the visit. She shared with us like, oh yeah, I was in my daughter's room, boxing up stuff. And wow, it's really hard to not break down. But she was like, because her daughter had died, she was a teenage, and I don't know what from. But like after a year or so of thinking about that, I was like, oh my God, like that's a major source of her disease. It's like, it's just, I can't imagine. Like all you have to think about is your own kids and something like that happening. And then like just
Boom. Yeah, it
seeing
lands
how that
the
is everyone
moment.
else. And it's like, that's like a part of my language, but there's a holy shit moment. Like the weight of that. Like, how could somebody, like, how could you be well dealing with that?
Exactly. And that, man, my mom experienced something a little more immediate. She used to be a first responder, and she had this happen twice, and it was one of the major reasons, especially after we started learning about the pokes and health and wellness, that she ended up retiring. There were two sudden infant death calls that she went on, and one of the questions she asked is, was anything different in your schedule, like, leading up to this? Both of the parents, and or the parents in both cases, said, well, we had a doctor appointment, a well child check yesterday or the day before, and where they had gotten the pokes. And
Jeez.
yeah, so my mom has, even in our tiny little hick town, experienced vids, because it's not sudden, it's not a mystery, it's vaccine induced. But yeah, when you start to connect those dots between our experiences, our environment, and what on earth is going on with our bodies, yeah, it makes perfect sense why why a lot of us end up seeming so messed up physically, because we've got, well, the body keeps the score. I'm not sure if you've read that book, but it's a really, really awesome book and very research based. And I mean, even mainstream media seems to acknowledge that anger can be harbored in the liver. Like, that's a pretty mainstream connection these days. And if mainstream even acknowledges that, if we take it out of mainstream, what other emotions can be harbored in the body than connecting to physical dis-ease? And so then it makes absolutely perfect sense how, emotional, mental trauma can, and grief can definitely be playing a physical role in our, our life experience. So, man, that's an experience.
Absolutely. It can get stored in there. I've seen it being released, particularly through doing physical medicine on someone, either like muscle energy stretching or some sort of like tender point trigger point therapy or manipulations or adjustments. Adjustments are what the chiropractors call the manipulations, and they have it trademarked. So if you're in the public domain as like a as an osteopath or a naturopath, you can't use that term. So you have to use another term like manipulation. But
Wow.
yeah, so through doing those kinds of works, so the massage and the other therapies that I mentioned, like you can actually like get that to the surface level for someone.
Yeah.
Like sometimes they'll start crying, or through doing cranial sacral therapy is another one that is notorious for getting that those emotions
Yep.
to or traumas
Tapping. Yeah,
come up.
EFT tapping has been, I've experienced some healing from that too. I know a lot of people these days also, it's not so much, it's a little physical, but it's more internal physical, like EMDR and like brain mapping and stuff like that. But yeah, there are so many modalities that we can use that are actually relatively easy to learn. It's not like you have to have an 8-year degree in to be a doctor to learn some of these modalities and actually have them work. Oh, wonder what's
Correct.
going on.
Yeah. What's going on on your end there?
Well,
Everything okay?
oh, and my dog is barking. Well, that is our brush
Well,
truck hauling our ATV. So there must be a wildland fire, and we have some severe winds today, so there's probably
well,
going to
hey.
be more sirens, but
Oh, well, hey, that's all part of the show, right? We got to roll with it. So
yeah.
we're kind of spontaneous and not scripted, so
Yep. Well, and it helps that I live at the intersection of the two highways that run through town. So
well,
I
there you
kind of get to be the town nosy person.
go. Well, you get to see all the action, so
Oh yeah,
it's
well,
a
like
good vantage point.
yesterday we had someone, thankfully the highway that has no stop in front of my house is only 30 miles an hour through town. So someone ended up pulling out in front of a logging truck yesterday.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, so there was a bumper in the intersection. But
Yeah, not
that's
smart.
the no, not at all. But I'm surprised, like growing up, there was a lot more. So I'm thankful that there aren't as many as there used to be. So, but yeah, no, that is par for the course for my show. It's almost like a variety show sometimes.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So,
Yep.
it keeps things fresh,
It
I'll say.
does. It does.
And then what I was gonna say, Amber, the other thing too is, so with a lot of those like mental emotional events or even trauma being stored in the body, it can also trigger people too. And I've experienced that personally with a, well, I would say a near death experience from an MVA that I had in 2017. When I have chiropractic work done, particularly with it's not an activator, but it's this one pop device. I don't know what it's called, the instrument, but it goes along your spine and near your transverse spinal processes, and it pops, and it's just like when that happens, it recreates the event for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it does it almost every time. I've actually gotten better at not having it like recreate the accident, because it was like being hit with a human's high fly swatter and blacking out for a moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so, and I've seen other people have those events. So it is 100% true.
It's essentially, and I'm going to draw a parallel here. It's essentially like the body's physical version of PTSD. Because
Yes.
typically we compare PTSD to like a mental emotional, but we can have physical triggers too. And that's something that I think goes by the wayside far too often. That is very, very much real as you've experienced and you've witnessed. Yeah, so thank you for sharing that because yeah, that's definitely something important to know that for listeners, especially if they didn't know that that's a thing that can happen, and they've experienced it, so they know that they're not crazy. I very
No, listen to your
often,
body.
yeah, exactly. I very often come across people, nice, who there's a bunch of dump trucks like right at the intersection too, so
Yeah, I can hear their horns. Is that?
yeah,
Yeah.
that was the rescue rig to go provide relief for the firefighters, so but I've seen a lot of people who have felt like they're crazy because the providers that they were working with literally had no idea that these things were possible, so they brushed it off as,
It's in your head.
yeah, it's in your head, basically hallucination, like they're going crazy. And if I've learned one thing from all of my crazy random experiences in life, you're not crazy. You're not losing your mind. These things are real. We just need to find people who know about them to help. And you know, that's where you come in. And that's the beauty of what you do, is you're, you know, exploring the boundaries of what we recognize and what we know is true, and you're helping shed light on it so that people have these avenues to go down for, you know, more pathways to healing.
Very true on that. Yeah, because they need to know, well, first of all, that they're not imagining it, that it is real and it is a thing. And then the second thing is they need to know, well, what do I do about it? So what kind of, therapies, modalities used, and then also what tools can they use themselves when they're not in that office visit or telemed visit or what have you. Because there's a lot of things that can be done, like with, counseling and then also mind body medicine or biofeedback.
Yes. Yum.
And
Absolutely.
beyond too. Like even like things like the right kind of essential oil or the right herb or
Yeah.
homeopathic remedies.
Totally. Yep. And
Or
that,
even
go ahead.
physical exercise.
What were you gonna say? Sorry, I think you were saying physical,
Oh.
right?
Yeah, physical exercise, different kinds of exercise can help with that too. So it's not just like a one treatment. There's a myriad of treatments that can help, and that's the beauty of it. It's not a one size fits all approach.
No, absolutely. And that's actually
Tailor
something
fit.
that, yeah. Yep. That's a perfect way to put it, because even with this program that I'm looking at putting together, this like nurturing our temple, it hasn't fully manifested in my brain yet. Like I have not gotten all the downloads yet on what it's supposed to look like, but there is absolutely this component of returning to honoring our food, not just being mindful of what we're eating, but like how we're eating it, down to mindfulness when we're cooking it, or when we're preparing it. And just having this attitude of gratitude for our food, even if it's, you know, the quote cheat meal where it's a donut or whatever, like still having gratitude that like you're at least in a place that you're well enough that you can eat that, and it's not gonna put you in bed for 3 days, you know.
Yeah, no shame.
yeah, exactly. And doing the best we can with what we have. But I have found that when I cook with that kind of intention,
The food's better.
it tastes better, it feels more satisfying and you know, filling. I don't tend to eat as much. And I feel like it does actually like power, like fuel me more than if I'm just throwing stuff together just to get it down, you know, the gullet kind of thing.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I gotta actually slightly disagree with you on one thing. When
Yeah.
it's do that, I actually eat more because
Oh.
it's so good.
Are you mindfully eating though too?
Oh yeah, I am. I'm just
Oh,
eating.
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
So,
that's, yeah, different strokes.
strokes for different folks.
Yep, exactly. But that's the beauty of it, like listening to your body and listening to intuition and being mindful of it. You know, in your case, there's more of them. I'm gonna mute myself for a second if you want to share something.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, just I think with the food, you know, having that intention is really important. You know, when you're making food, if you're in the right mindset and you're really grounded, I think the quality of food reflects that. You know, I've noticed that really profoundly over like the last year or so. Of I thought before maybe it didn't make a difference, but it actually does. And I've had other people concur, like if I made food, you know, a meal for someone else, you know, they generally are like, wow, that's really good. So that is a thing. There's something to it. And then meanwhile, Amber is dealing with whatever's happening over there. But I'm grateful to be on the show today. For all you listening out there, wherever you may be.
Yeah, I'm back. I decided to close the door so at least we're only dealing with sirens and not dogs barking too. Yeah. But for the most part during the day, they just sleep and they're totally quiet. But it seems like every time that I don't close the door and I do a radio show, they end up barking from sirens. So lesson learned. But I love what you shared. And actually that mindfulness made me think of something else. What if we turned that mindfulness into more areas of life, not just when we're focusing on wellness? What if we were mindful and having gratitude even about doing our dang dishes or mowing the yard?
A
Having
lot of
that
better.
mindset shift.
100% agreed on that. And that's something to shoot for. Now we're gonna fall short just because that's how life is. But I
Oh,
think
right.
that's, you know, kind of like Polaris, to guide you. Something to shoot for, but you're not always gonna get there. But that's okay.
Right.
The
Yeah.
whole
Like, don't hold yourself to it.
Yeah.
Because lo and behold, your lawnmower is going to end up running out of oil halfway through, or the dogs bark during the radio show.
Yep. Now they're just saying hi, or they're liking the content. Maybe they're just approving.
Right. We'll go with that.
Go with that. Yeah, we'll take that one.
Yeah, it's I when I fully understood what mindfulness was about, that it wasn't just always being happy-go-lucky, but even just noticing when we feel upset or anxious or insert other not happy emotion, and noticing the context. I feel like just the act of noticing without judgment has helped flow through that emotion so much faster, because it's acknowledging it. And it's just like parenting. You're a dad, so I'm sure you get it. Like, when we acknowledge and not let me rewind. There's a
Go for
way we can acknowledge our kids' emotions without letting them run amok. We can acknowledge, I can see that you're upset without letting them have like a full-fledged tantrum, and helping teach them how to hone in expressing the emotion, but in a healthy way. And the same thing is for us. Like, and I think we forget that as adults, that we can go back and notice how we handled something and think about the why without judgment and see if there was a better way we could have handled it, even just internally, even if it didn't impact anybody else. It's profound, and I wish there was a better way to like present that as its own concept rather than always working it in randomly, like in conversations like this. Because introducing the topic is not really an easy one. That idea of like simply just noticing how you react to your own experiences. I've seen people do an okay job at it, but it's in conversations like these where we are already digging deep, exploring how we want to move forward in life, that when we bring up that noticing our own reactions really has a profound effect.
Absolutely. It's a kind of self-reflection, and you could say like counseling and meditation and biofeedback or mind-body medicine are modalities that are really good at getting people to analyze that or sit with it and then analyze it and then adjust accordingly, you know? And there's
Absolutely.
simple techniques, and then some are a little bit more complex. I guess it just depends on what the situation requires, and also what, you know, the individual is willing to do at that moment. And that could vary from one day to the next, or even within a day. So,
Yes, absolutely.
yeah,
But,
which I think we all know that one. No, it's not always like a flat plane, you know, journey is sometimes it's like a roller coaster, like within a day, it's like up and down and it could be quite chaotic and random. You know, like at one point of the day, you might be willing to tackle and able to tackle just about anything. And then another point, you might just be like, it's like, you know, you can barely crawl, so to speak.
And it reminds me of the four agreements that you do the best you can, like in every moment, or you do the best you can with what you have. Because yeah, every moment is going to be different. And if you're always just focusing on doing the best you can in that moment, yes, it's going to vary. And when you look back, you're not going to have the regret because you recognize that you did the best you could with what you had in that moment. And in that moment, you didn't have a lot to work with, and that's okay. And that's, I think, the beauty of it is it's giving ourselves permission, it's giving ourselves grace, really.
Excellent.
That I think our society is so severely lacking with each other, with ourselves. So, yeah.
Yeah, if that's not the understatement of the year, I don't know what is.
Right?
Yeah, and that's important to remember. But then the problem is getting others to recognize that, because some people aren't, they're not willing to change, at least not yet. You know, it's kind of like, well, I mean, 2020 and 2021, and well, even up to right now is a prime example of that. And we've all seen it. I mean, you know, people to where it's like you could give them all the, you know, logic, reason, and evidence, and they're still going to be like, okay, I don't get it.
Right. And it's,
Right.
yeah.
Yeah. And
Though,
there's others that will. I think by now it's there's not really a big movement that way. There's people trickling in, but not a lot. I think people are, it was a wrecking ball to society, what happened in 2020
absolutely. And
on the micro and macro.
and I do feel like, and I'm sure I've said this to you, that it was the biggest blessing in disguise that we probably could have ever had. And those of us who, are like vision boarders, or annual goal setters, like how many of us set 2020 to be the year for 2020 vision? We got it. Not in the way we ever
Yeah.
expected, but that was actually the year, I think, maybe the
It's a
year
cosmic
after.
joke, really.
What was that?
It's a cosmic joke. 2020 vision in 2020, like things became crystal clear. At least maybe not for everybody, but for
No, right.
minority, you know.
But I think it was either 2020 or 2021 where I came to the realization that the goal that we set for ourselves is really setting the obstacles we're going to overcome that year. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. It is definitely an intention, though. For instance, and I've seen this analogy, and that's why it dawned on me. If you want to experience or be more peaceful in life or have more peace in your life, universe, God, whatever you want to call it, devil challenging us, whatever, we're going to experience opportunities to practice being peaceful. We're not going to just be automatically given peace. We're going to be given situations that force us to practice peace. So when the collective of us chose 2020 vision, we were given an opportunity to see clearly. And I do see where even the people who are still on the other side and their eyes have not been fully opened, I do see where even they, for the most part, seem to also have woken up to some things at some level. For instance, like we were talking about the example of, the spectrum of, politics, in the JFK era, Democrats. I know quite a few of those that truly didn't realize that the JFK era democracy, or democracy that they thought their party was,
Is
no
gone.
longer existed. Yeah. And it kind of
Long
threw
gone.
them for a loop. Yep. But it took these extremes that we're living in now for them to truly wake up and realize, oh crap, this is what my party is representing now. And then having to really have a heart to heart with themselves. And that's not to say all of them have converted. Some have gone libertarian, some have gone constitutional or independent, some are sticking it out, trying to, hope they can make change from the inside out kind of thing. And there isn't necessarily a right or wrong. They may all have their purpose, in why they're doing it, but whatever choice they make. But it does seem like we have these quote shocking experiences to give us the opportunity to practice the things that are our goals. So I think sometimes I look at my health that way too, like, okay, what do I need to learn about what I'm doing with my health that my body is trying to teach me right now? If I look at it as sort of like a lesson, or just an obstacle, like a hurdle for a runner, it makes it feel a little bit more tangible. It makes it feel less personal, and more like putting it on the table that you can look at instead of feeling like it is you. It's just an experience you're going through. So yeah, just this whole health and wellness journey definitely brings a lot of food for thought and a lot of reflection, just to kind of bring it full circle.
Of course, of course. And I would say, like, with the events of 2020 and beyond, it kind of it gave 2020 vision to those that had eyes to see and ears to hear, the opportunity to really see everything that was wrong, like in our society and other societies as well. I don't think there's one that really wasn't affected by it. And plenty of opportunities to like have like a wake up call and look around and go like, okay, I see all these problems. These are problems that have existed for quite some time, but now they're like up in your face. They're in your face, and it's like, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah,
And
it forced us to no longer sit at the fork in the road. It forced us to pick.
you couldn't, and also to take it a little further is, you had to make a choice as to how you want to be, how do you want to exist. And the thing that keeps coming up is, if you want freedom, you have to take the personal responsibility on everything. And is it exhausting? God, yes, it is. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. But here's the
Bingo.
thing, is nobody can do it alone, and that requires community. And so that was a good thing about 2020, is it really showed you where people stood on things, and you didn't
Yeah.
even have to talk to them to know that. You just had to look at their face,
Right.
what their face should be. And
Exactly.
so
Yeah.
if you were somebody that looked the same, like if you were to do a selfie in 2019 versus 2020, you were looking for other people that or the same, right?
Yeah, we
And
were looking for the bare facers. Absolutely.
the baby faces.
Yeah.
The new version of baby face, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that was, it was kind of beautiful in a way, because never would you have had that opportunity. And as chaotic as things could be, and in some areas they were extremely chaotic, in
Right, because
places
I know where
less
you
so.
live.
Yeah, exactly.
Not
You know,
like a
on
creepy,
the
like your
coast.
house kind of where you live, but the
Yeah,
community you live, yeah.
the left coast, basically,
Yeah.
from I don't know, from Bellingham down to almost San Diego. It's all Smurfville. It's so blue, you know. Sky, well, at least when it's not being cloud seeded, you know, you can't tell the ground from the sky.
Right, yeah. No, and that's when I'm coaching and doing PMA advising, I one of the things I ask is what state you live in, and it's not so much that it matters when we're drafting the PMA, but it matters in terms of how much coaching am I going to have to do for you to make sure that you are prepared to defend your document and your PMA or your ministry, knowing where you live. Because the coastal states, minus like Florida and Georgia, I would say, or something like that. But the coastal states, Minnesota and Michigan, seem to be cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And most of the other middle states, and Minnesota isn't actually even as bad as it sounds. It's just that there's so little that actually happens here that's like newsworthy that the few things that do like blow up. But yeah, that's where you live too. Yeah. And I love what you mentioned about community. It was so obvious. Speaking of community, I do want to segue if we're at that point, to ask you about your health club, a little bit, because that is, you know, a version of a community. And I'd like to know a little bit more about that, the intentions behind it, and what your goals are with it, and how it might benefit listeners.
Sure. Well, my health club is basically, I'd like to, you know, call it a common sense approach to medicine or health and wellness, perhaps. Modalities I use are, I don't use a lot of high tech modalities. I feel it's not necessary for the most part. So things I use are, like, obviously I do counseling, I do mind body medicine, or, you know, some forms of biofeedback, herbs, homeopathy, hydrotherapy. It depends. Like, if I see you in person, then there will be some, like, physical medicine, or can be if the situation requires that. So, like, hydrotherapy, which would be constitutional hydrotherapy using a VitaRay device, also like tender point, trigger point therapy, and some osseous manipulations. Or if you're familiar with what a chiropractor does, it would be adjusting. And so that's what I mostly use. And then I do some eclectic tests, and right now that's kind of where I'm at. And oh, of course, dietary and nutritional counseling, for sure. That's a big one right there. And then environmental medicine is the other thing too.
What was that one?
Environmental medicine.
Oh, all right. Tell me a little bit about environmental medicine.
Sure. So environmental medicine and clinical ecology, if people are familiar with that term, it's basically, what it has to do with is how our environment affects our health. So mainly with toxins, you know, toxicity, and then also various therapies or devices or practices that can help reduce that toxicity.
Nice.
And yeah, so my originally, I don't know if you know this, Amber, but in a past life, you know, I guess I'm like a cat, you know, we have 9 lives, but
Right,
in one of
we
the,
do.
even though I'm more of a dog person, honestly,
No.
In one of my past lives, I was a botanist or a horticulturalist, and so I'm very well versed in plants and plants, having indoor plants, for example, which is part of environmental medicine or clinical ecology. It's like a little sub
Great.
within that overall umbrella. So having plants in your living space, not only is it really good for aesthetics, and just being tranquil, but it's also good at purifying the air.
Here. Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
As I'm sitting here looking at my plant needing watering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better keep that thumb green.
Yes. I actually have a relatively green thumb that I'm proud of. So, yeah. No, I love that. And I also think that's something that is so severely underrated. I mean, the first part of what you said, especially like addressing our environment and toxicity, that's a little bit more common, especially in the health and wellness industries, because we do tend to talk a lot about, reducing or eliminating toxins, especially with like our cleaning products, our personal care products. Like that's a little bit more, I would say, widely accepted. But things like the plants that we have in our house, like I love that you brought that up because it's the things that we don't tend to think about. That I grew up with plants in my house. Like every room in my house, except maybe the bathrooms, have plants in them. But I know a lot of people don't grow up that way. And so it's not like a logical thing to do, necessarily, but awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we're and I know we started late, so we can end as long as your timeline is okay, a little bit late to make up for it. But I guess
Yeah, we could go. Oh, I was going to say we could go a little bit longer. So,
okay.
just whatever you want the listeners to know,
Yeah.
in this episode, let's go for it.
Okay. I would say talk to me a little bit more about what does the private domain mean specifically for you and what you do? Especially you had mentioned when we were kind of prepping for the show, like data breaches, private medical information being, publicly demanded, like with 2020 and being violated. What does the private domain mean to you, kind of in reference to these things?
That's a great question, and that's a question that we could literally go on for 2 hours on. So I'm going to
Oh, I
try and
know. I know.
be fairly brief on this one. So, with the private domain and protected health information, so there is most people are probably, at least here in the States, because I know some of the listeners are from outside the States. We have what's known as HIPAA. And HIPAA is like a lot of healthcare practitioners here in the States were trained to like be HIPAA compliant. It's a document. I don't remember how many pages it is, but it's filled with all sorts of legalese and other jargon that is kind of hard to decipher. But when you read the document, because we all had to do that for part of our clinical rotation as student clinicians, when you read it, it's kind of like you scratch your head if you're really paying attention to the document and you go, wait a second, there's parts of this document that are the complete opposite of privacy, to where it actually allows for exemptions against or for the sharing of protected health information, stuff that should be private.
Especially with the government.
Yes, and but also in the commercial sense, for commerce, for
Yeah.
things being able to be sold. So it's not all that it's cracked up to be. And I'll probably do some sort of podcast on breaking down HIPAA, because a lot of people are under this false assumption that it's like completely kosher and completely clean.
Yeah,
It
that
is
I'm like,
not.
oh, so good. No, it's actually worse than if we didn't have it, in my opinion.
And that's just one aspect of it, right? So with privacy in as it pertains to health information, you also have electronic medical record systems, and they are not secure. I don't
No.
pardon my language, I don't give a damn what anybody tells you. They cannot guarantee its safety, that it will remain secure and private. They cannot. In fact, personally, I just got a letter in the mail the other day from a local healthcare facility, which I didn't, I was never a patient there, but I was a prospective employee back in the day. And the letter basically informed me that there had been a security breach, and my information may have been at risk. So that's just a reminder. That's just as an applicant. So I don't know if I had my security number on there or what, but they would know who I am and where I lived, and maybe my, email. Not that that's such a bad thing, but my phone number and other stuff that might be sensitive. So you can't make guarantees. So the thing is, in the private domain, if anything's sent electronically, you still can't make a guarantee, but the best thing you can do is in good faith that that information will be guarded, and treated being sacred, which it is, by the way. Now, in person, like anything that's filled out, like any documents that are filled out, those ones will be kept in. Again, you have to kind of do the best you can. It'll be lock and key in a safe that is either fire resistant to a point and water resistant to a point. Because you could have acts of God that could happen to where you have like a severe fire that's going to destroy just about everything, and you can't make any guarantees against that. So I would say with the private, you really want to be as transparent as you can be, and you want to have honor, but you cannot make any guarantees. You can't guarantee anything. That's the truth of living. There are no guarantees. But shoot for it, though. Be honorable.
Absolutely. And that's a really good point. About it's literally impossible to make guarantees. Because even thinking of our Constitution, it is supposed to protect and guarantee our natural God-given rights that we were given at birth. And yet, it can only guarantee it as far as the people know how to use it.
Assert them. Yes, you have to assert them.
Yeah, you're right. We could definitely go on that topic. So
Sure
maybe that's
could. I got
something we'll have
that.
to rain check for a future episode because I think there's a lot, especially because you, in a sense, have seen and experienced both sides of it, from mainstream and from alternative, but you've also seen and experienced it, from a doctor perspective as well as, a patient perspective. I have a feeling there's quite a bit that you can share on that people will relate to. I don't think it's gonna feel like preachy, whereas like, you start a new job and they have to do those seminars and they have the speaker come in and talk about, cybersecurity. It's like you're not gonna listen to it. It's that whole concept of facts tell, but stories sell. Like it's the personal experiences that people really cling to and remember. And you have those that really resonate. So, let me see if there is anything else on my notes. Is there any final thoughts? Anything that we didn't touch on yet that you did want to spend a couple minutes on? I do still want you to
Well,
share your contact info, but we can do that in the wrap up.
sure. I'm trying to think if there is. Honestly, we could talk about so many different things, but I think we covered most things that I was looking to cover today,
Sweet.
and that you were looking to cover as well. So maybe we'll save it to the next episode.
All right.
How's that?
Perfect. So, listeners, FYI, Sean and I will work on scheduling a time for him to come back. And we'll let you know when that happens. Sean, I really appreciate this happening. It's a long time coming. Basically, since we worked together, which was well before I had the radio show going, I knew that I wanted to work with you somehow. I wanted to support you, and I wanted, our networks to be able to hear and see what it is that you do, your wisdom and your experiences. So yeah, this is definitely a long time coming, and I appreciate that we could make this happen relatively quickly. Like, what was it like just a week and a half ago that we talked about this?
There is. Yeah, and it is, I'm really grateful for this opportunity. And then, as I said at the beginning, and I'm gonna say it again to the audience, Amber's a class act, and she has the utmost integrity, and she's one of the best people I've met in the last since 2020, if not beyond. So, you deliver value and quality, and you're going to keep doing that. And so I'm pretty stoked about the next episode, and I'm really happy with how this one went. And I look forward to working with you more in whatever capacity, because I mean, just we don't seem to run out of things to talk about, and we seem to bring value and things that are probably on a lot of people's minds that maybe they're struggling with, or they're having a hard time connecting with others on, or sharing with others because maybe they feel isolated. And this radio show really allows for that opportunity to know, like, yeah, there's other people that feel the same way, having these deep, meaningful conversations that we needed to have yesterday, but now today is the next best time.
Yep, just like planting a tree. The first best time was 40 years ago. Next best time is today.
Yeah, so get your gloves and shovels ready.
Yes. Plus, isn't Earth Day coming up here soon, or is that the 20th? I think it is.
Yeah, it's coming up in I think a week.
So there's our little plug for Earth Day unintentionally.
I grow plants too, so
Nice.
yeah, so I being a horticulturalist, botanist, I do have that aspect of my ministry. But right now it's more local.
Right, yeah, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
John, why don't you tell listeners how they can get a hold of you if they would like to do some over the phone or virtual, I guess, consulting, counseling through your health hub or health.
Sure. Yeah. So there's a couple of ways. One is you can contact me via email, and my email address is it's DYT Ministries at proton.me. And then I also have a Twitter account or X account. And it's also it's the syllabary, so I don't expect anybody to be able to type that in. Don't worry about it unless you're, familiar with the Cherokee language, or you're from Oklahoma or Western North Carolina. But you can find me on Twitter at the handle is at DYT lowercase ministries.
DYT. Okay. And DYT, that's like D's and dog, Y's and yellow, T as in Tom.
Correct.
Okay.
Got
Perfect.
it.
So that was DYT at Proton Mail, right? And then DYT Ministries is his Twitter handle or X handle. I will never just call it X. I think it's, I am very rebellious against that change.
Yes, Twitter.
Yep, exactly. So,
Yeah.
all right. Let's see.
Oh, real quick, just to make sure, because Proton did make a change with some of the email address names. So it is D as in dog, Y as in yellow, T as in Tom, all lowercase, ministries at proton.me.
Oh, okay. So you did that update or that upgrade. Okay.
Yeah.
I think the other one does still work. It's just
Okay.
that's the one that often shows when you send stuff.
Okay.
So protonmail.com or proton.me. Either
Yeah,
one.
try those. Because
Okay.
I don't know. I've had issues with it on that. So just so listeners are aware of that, just in case. If you want to talk to me,
Yeah, absolutely. Which, guys, I highly recommend. Sean has been an awesome ally for the last 4 years, just about, and super knowledgeable, really conversational. As you can tell, we could have been continued talking for another 3 hours, which we have done. unintentionally.
Oh, and the other thing too, I don't know if I said where I'm at. I'm in the Seattle area. So if you're anywhere
Yeah,
local
yep.
in the Pacific Northwest or greater Puget Sound area, you could possibly see me in person. So just throwing that out there.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a really good thing to add because I know some people, especially because of cybersecurity, do prefer to meet in person if they can. So, awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. And thanks again for coming here. As we, you guys listen, a little lock words, as we wrap up today's show, next week we're not going to have a guest. So, it's going to be a little bit more business as usual, which there isn't a usual with me. It's super random. I think our only usual thing is we have a holiday of the day and a word of the day, and then I make a theme out of it. So I appreciate Sean sharing more about his healing ministry and really talking about some of the really surface level differences between mainstream allopathic medicine versus the original natural medicine and more. Let's see. I want to skip that part. If you are interested in that Bible or not Bible, oh my goodness, it's been a day, you guys. If you're interested in that book study on Sovereign Duty by Chris Ann Hall, please shoot me an email at livingwithfreedom@protonmail.com or amber@livingwithfreedom.org. This has been episode 37 of the Living with Freedom Show. I'm your host, Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today. Remember to schedule the show in your calendar every Tuesday from 2 to 3:30 Central, noon 1:30 Pacific. And thanks again. We'll see you next week where we continue to explore what living a life of freedom looks like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in every aspect of life. Have a great day, guys.